Well, this evening, we have come to the very end of our walk through the letter to the Philippians, Paul's letter to the Church of Philippi. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you grab one now and turn with me to Philippians. This is about halfway through the New Testament. Well, as I said, this evening is going to be our last look in this book. But before we move on from this book, it is prudent to remind ourselves of just what this book has been about. And the big theme that has guided us through this letter has been this. Paul teaches the church how to live joyfully as citizens of God's kingdom in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you were to write a sentence of what Philippians is about, it would be this. Live joyfully as citizens of God's kingdom in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, this evening, we are just going to finish off by looking at the final three verses of this letter. In chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 23. Now, these are kind of like the ending, the kind of the final greetings and the final benediction that was common to Paul's letter. Paul tends to start off his letters with saying, I'm Paul writing this letter. I write it to this group of people, in this case the Philippians. Here's a nice greeting. And then he ends it with, these people say hi, and here's a nice benediction. It's something, if you're familiar with the Bible, you'll be very familiar with this sort of pattern. However, we must be careful that our familiarity with this pattern does not blind us from the significance and importance of such greetings. These words are not token words from Paul. They're not how we just say to so-and-so and then from yours sincerely at the end of a letter. No, these words are more heartfelt. They're much more meaningful. And none so less in the closing words of Philippians. Let's read these together. Just three verses. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 21. Paul says this. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to study these final verses of this book, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be work amongst us, illuminating the scriptures to us, so that we may better grasp the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, did you see the final benediction that Paul gives there in verse 23? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. A sentence so short, so concise, yet so packed full with wonderful truths. And tonight we're going to focus on three main points, three main reminders, three main truths about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first one, this is a grace that transforms. If you're with us this morning, you would have heard six wonderful testimonies from six people about how the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has transformed their lives. Six wonderful testimonies of how they have found peace with God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Six wonderful stories of how they found forgiveness, of how they found righteousness because of the grace that transforms. Their testimonies can pretty much be summed up together in the words that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read to you these words. Because they are pretty much every Christian's testimony. Paul says this. Let me read them to you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. This describes every single one of us before Christ. Gratifying our sinful cravings of the flesh, deserving of God's wrath. But Paul doesn't end there. Paul says this, but, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Grace that you have been saved. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that takes us from being dead in sins to alive in Christ. That was the story of these six people this morning. And that's the story of every single Christian in this room tonight. That we have been saved by grace. And because we've been saved by this grace, because our lives have been transformed by this grace, we now become part of God's people. We now become saints because we're in Christ Jesus. And we are saints because, and only because, of the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you remember in chapter 2 of Philippians, we looked at that great Christ hymn of Jesus, who is God. But he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on human flesh. He humbled himself by becoming a slave. He humbled himself even further by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. As we saw in that sermon, you cannot get higher than who God is, and you cannot get lower than where Christ humbled himself. Why did he do that? So that we may be saved. So that we might enjoy this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and go from being dead to alive in Christ. It is because of the saving work on the cross that we get to become God's people. It is because our sins have been forgiven in Christ that we have been imputed with his righteousness and we get to become God's holy people. Isn't that amazing? That because of this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now God's holy people. We are now citizens of God's kingdom. Let me ask this question. That was the story of these six people this morning. That's the story of every Christian in this room, but is that your story? Is that your story? Have you experienced the transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you gone from being deserving of God's wrath to being part of God's holy, dearly loved people, sons and daughters of God? Is that your story? Well, if it is, then we must remember that our citizenship is no longer in this world. But we have become citizens of God's eternal kingdom, regardless of your background. Here is an amazing thing I was reflecting on this morning. We've heard six great testimonies from people from six very different backgrounds. There was no one same story, was there? There were six unique stories, all with one uniting theme. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's transformed their lives. It didn't matter who they were. They have been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter what background they came from. It didn't matter what struggles they had. It did not matter how far deep they felt in their sin. God's grace was sufficient. And God lifted them up from the pit of their sin and depravity and made them alive in Christ. Wasn't that amazing to reflect upon that this morning? And this is similar too in Philippians. Look with me in verse 22. So at the end of a letter, Paul says the people with him are saying greetings to this church. But look who Paul particularly highlights in verse 22. Paul says, all God's people here send you, the Philippians, greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. This is quite remarkable, this. Because remember the context of Philippians. The Philippians are living in a context in which the worship of Caesar as Lord is number one. If you do not bow to Caesar, you're opposed, you're persecuted, you're ostracized. And also remember, this is Paul writing these words, who right now is a prisoner of Caesar. And yet here we have people within Caesar's household, Caesar's either servants or politicians or advisors or soldiers, we're not entirely sure, but here we have those belonging to Caesar's household greeting God's people. Why? Because they are also part of God's people. There are Christians amongst those who are persecuting the Christians. Isn't that incredible? This grace that transforms can transform anyone from any background, no matter where they are in their life. That even amongst those who are opposing the church, the gospel is at work, transforming their lives to make them part of God's holy people. This is the transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you again, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter your background. It doesn't matter if you've come to church all your life or this is your very first time in church. It does not matter what is going on in your life right now, how far from God you may feel right now. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace can save you tonight. All you have to do is come in humility to the cross of Christ. Admit that you are far from God, that you are dead in your sins. Ask God for forgiveness for your sins and trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is sufficient to save you. You can do that tonight. You can do that right now. And you can experience this wonderful transforming power that we heard about this morning and that all the Christians here can testify to tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a grace that transforms. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a grace that unites. You see, as God is at work bringing people to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded that it is the Christ Jesus who is the source and the focus of our unity. As I said, six people, six wonderful testimonies, six different backgrounds, yet all united as one because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this grace that enables us to share the encouragement for being united with Christ, the comfort from His love, the common sharing in the one Spirit, the tenderness, the compassion, that we are now able to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. This is the grace that unites us all as one body in Christ Jesus. We are one family. We are one unit. We are as one. This is a big thing we've been looking at through the letter of Philippians, of being united together, of putting each other's needs above our own so that we can be united together as one in Christ Jesus. And here we have the reminder that it is Christ Jesus who is the source and who is the focus of our unity. Now that means that we should repent of all that needlessly holds us apart. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When you get a bunch of sinners in one room, it's not going to be pretty. We're all sinners. We deem sinners, yes, but we're still sinners. We still have our pride. We still have our faults. We still trying to get one up in each other. We still prefer our way to be the way. But we need to repent of that. And we need to put each other's needs above our own. We ought to break down all the barriers to unity that we have subtly erected. Be that age, be that preference for a worship style, be that whatever. There's many we can add to that list. Because we're united in Christ Jesus. This is something we need to hold on to. Graham was mentioning in his prayer diary, which I encourage you to get if you've not got it yet, and to read, encouraging us to let our gentleness be evident to all. We saw that in Philippians chapter 4. Because as a church, we are facing some uncertain times with our building, are we not? It's great this morning, we're absolutely packed full to the rafters, but that presents a problem. There's no more seats in this lifeboat, is there? We're full up. We need either to redo this place or move to a bigger building, but that could cause some division. That could cause some disunity amongst us. So we need to remember that our unity does not come from our location or our building. Our unity comes from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him we find our union. Third thing. This grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a grace that is still with our spirits. In other words, this is a grace that continues to transform. Throughout our letter, we have seen Paul exhorting the Philippians to live joyfully as citizens of God's kingdom in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And if you haven't realized already, this is a very high calling, an almost impossible task. Let me just recap to you the kind of church we are called to be. We are called to be a maturing church that confidently partners in the gospel. We are called to be a rejoicing church in the midst of suffering, opposition, and even death. We are called to be a united church, fearless in the opposition. A united church, humble in its mindset, with the very mindset of Christ Jesus. We are called to be a church that shines bright like a star in this dark world. We are called to be a church that is willing to risk everything for the sake of Christ. To consider everything a loss compared to knowing Him. We are called to be a church that presses on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. To let our gentleness be evident to all, to suffocate our anxiety with prayer, to live confidently, humbly, independently, empowered and unselfishly. Wow! What a high calling that is. That is an impossible task by any human standards, is it not? But here at the very end of the letter, Paul reminds us that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a grace that continues to transform us. See, grace is not just there for that moment when you pass from dead in your sins to alive in Christ. Grace is there throughout our entire Christian life. Grace is with us from that moment we become saved to that moment we're going to be glorified with Christ when He comes again. Grace that continues to transform us. Here is this great encouragement for us. That as we look forward to the reality of God's kingdom that will one day come, we do so knowing these words in chapter 1, verse 6, that He who began a good work in us will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're able to live joyfully as citizens of God's kingdom in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ because and only because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is still with us today, that is still working in our lives. This grace that is the remedy for every human need. This grace that makes available to us all the power, the helpfulness, the riches of Christ Jesus. And it's when we fully grasp that truth of what is ours in Christ, this high calling suddenly does not seem so high after all. Something that we can actually do. Something that we can and should be seeking to attain. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come to leave this letter behind, let us remember these three great truths about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a grace that transforms. It's a grace that unites. And it's a grace that continues to transform us. To be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And to shine bright like stars. To tell others of this wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. And bring people to a saving faith in Him. Amen.